So open your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 18. Psalm 18, a wonderful psalm. This psalm is written by our dear brother David. It was written shortly after he'd been delivered from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he penned these words, these wonderful words in Psalm 18. He'd been delivered again from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He wrote these words. Now, we won't be looking at the whole psalm tonight. We'll just be looking at the first three verses. And I want to talk about how God alone is worthy of our praise. Now, men and women in religion, they love the praise of man. And they love to brag about the things that they do. And they desire the praise of man, and they desire to boast in the various things that they do. But we who have been born again and are the blood-washed saints of God, we know that there's only one who's worthy of any glory. There's only one who's worthy of any praise, and that's our great God, Jehovah God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They alone are the ones who are worthy of our praise. The Lord Jesus is worthy of the praise of His people. Because He has delivered us, beloved, from all our sins. He's washed us clean in His precious, precious blood. So let's read the first three verses. These are the verses we'll be looking at here. Scripture says, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. Now again, David's writing this. He's been delivered from his enemies. He's been delivered from the hand of Saul. And look at the praise that he has for our great and glorious God. And he's not saying, oh, I delivered myself, is he? No. He's giving the glory to the one who receives all the glory, honor, and praise of his people. So I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Look at that. We're so weak, beloved. We have no strength in ourselves. And look at who's our strength, though. Jehovah. That's Jehovah there. O Lord, Yahweh, our great God and King. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Oh, my. My buckler and the horn of my salvation in my high tower. I will call upon the Lord. And that's what God's people do, don't we? We call upon the Lord. We never used to call upon the Lord before we were saved, but now we call upon the Lord. Look at this. Who is worthy to be praised? He alone is worthy to be praised. There's no one else worthy to be praised. We preachers don't want to be praised because we just give all the praise and glory to the one who saved us. And every born-again, blood-washed believer don't want anybody praising them because there's nothing we did to save ourselves. My, He alone is worthy to be praised. So I shall be saved from mine enemies. And I look at that and I think, who's the worst enemy we have? Ourselves. God's delivered us from ourselves, beloved. And He's also delivered us from all the enemies around us. Oh my. What a great God. And we see here that the believer in Christ, the believer in God, loves Christ. Why? Well, because of all the things He's done for us. And David's going to give us a list of these things. He's going to tell us why he loves the Lord. Why the Lord's his strength. Oh my. In this first verse of the text, the psalmist being delivered again from the hands of his enemies, he proclaims these wonderful words. Again, we're only going to look at the first three verses here. I'd encourage you to read the whole psalm, though, at home. I'd encourage you to read it. It'll be a blessing to you. You know why? Because it proclaims the sovereignty of God. This is a wonderful psalm to go to when we're going through trials and tribulations. Wonderful psalm to go to for comfort and strength, which is only given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit of God. Now notice the hearty affection here that comes through this verse. David's just not saying, well, I love you. He's saying, I love thee, Lord. I love you. He's singing it. He's not just speaking it. He's singing it. I could imagine hearing him sing this. Oh, my. You know how I know how he's singing this, because every born again, blood washed saint of God sings this way, don't they? I love thee, O Jehovah, O Yahweh, O my strength. My strength, the Lord's my strength. Is it yours? My, so we see this hearty affection. And it's a clinging affection. Because remember, he's been delivered from his enemies. He didn't deliver himself. He's been delivered. So this is a clinging love. This is a love where he's just clinging to the Lord, beloved. He says, I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you. I love you, Lord. You're my strength. You're my strength. John Trapp says this on this text, I will love thee dearly and entirely from the very heart root, from the bottom of my bowels, with like intention of affection, as a tender-hearted mother doth her dearest babe. Oh, my. We see Sister Jill with the boys just holding them. We all remember when we had little ones, we'd hold them, and just hold them in such love and affection. Oh, my. My, just caring for them. And they find comfort in the arms of mom and dad, don't they? The little ones. Or grandpa and grandma, too. Oh, my, some wonderful pictures of Rowan and Annabelle and Gavin. And there they are sitting on the couch with grandpa all tucked up. Oh, my, wonderful. Wonderful. Just see the love beaming from them all. Oh, my. So who alone is worthy of our praise? Well, only the one who loves us like this, with an everlasting love. He alone is worthy of our praise. My, oh my. The triune God, the Father, Son, and the Spirit, you know, they each have a claim upon our love. Father chose us in Christ before the world was. Christ redeemed us at Calvary's cross. And the Holy Spirit regenerates us. We're born again by His almighty power, given faith to believe and repentance before God. And so the Father, Son, and the Spirit are alone worthy of our praise. All three of them. My, oh my. They each have a claim upon our love. And that love, remember the fruit of the Spirit? Love, peace, joy. This is a love that we never had before. This is not a natural love. This is a love that's put in us by God, the Holy Spirit, given to us, and He has it grow in us. Oh my, this love in our text is love for, oh Lord, which in the Hebrew is the self-existent one, Jehovah. My, this is who David's speaking of. And this verse proclaims the truth that all God's people know. Look at this. What's that truth? Oh, Lord, my strength. Have you experienced that as I've experienced it? Have you experienced the weakness of our flesh and the weakness and infirmities of us, ourselves, and our sinfulness, so that we can say, the Lord is my strength? He's my strength. The Scripture says in John 15:5 that without Him, we can do nothing. Nothing. The Lord's our strength. He's my strength. Our glorious God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the strength of our life. And look at this. The psalmist confesses that Jehovah is my strength. He's my strength. Look at this. I will love Thee, O Lord. I love You. My strength. My strength. Oh, He alone is our hope. He alone is our life. He alone is our righteousness. He alone is our sanctification. He alone is our redemption. And He alone gives us strength and grace to the various trials and tribulations of this life that every one of us go through. Oh, He's the one who keeps us. Oh, my. Through the suffering of the body or through the suffering of mind, God is the believer's strength. He's our rest. And this list could be endless, but look at what verse 2 brings forth. Here are reasons for us to love Christ. Reasons to love Christ. Look at this. We're going to look at 8 reasons here. Look at verse 2. The Lord is my rock. So that's Jehovah. Jehovah is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God. My strength, it's, look it up, strength is brought up again. We're so weak, beloved. Oh, we're so weak. In whom I will trust. Look at that. Now, I remember there was a time when I didn't trust the Lord. There was a time when I didn't know the Lord. There was a time when I chased after gods of my own imagination. But praise be to God, the one true living God is pleased to reveal Himself to me and regenerate me by His almighty power. Set Christ before me through the preaching of His Word. And He gave me faith to believe. I was born again by His almighty power. Because I had no strength to save myself. Did you? I had no strength to save myself. But praise be to God, God saved my soul. Oh, He's my strength, in whom I will trust. Now with a believing heart, I trust Him when I never trusted Him before. Oh, what a mighty God. Says my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Look at this. The first reason that we to love Christ is He's our rock. He's our rock. Now the Hebrew word here translated rock refers to a cleft in a cliff. A cleft in a cleft in which one may hide from his enemy. Now you see some cliffs sometimes and they have a cleft in there. And if somebody goes into that cleft, you can't see them from the ground. That's what this is speaking of, being hidden. Being hidden. It's also translated this, listen to this, as a stronghold of Jehovah. And speaks of security. My, what security the believer has in Christ. People always talk about eternal security. There's only eternal security in God, in Christ. That's all. And if you have it, oh my, it's eternal security. If a man says they can lose their salvation after they profess Christ, they don't have the Christ of the Bible. They're not born again by the almighty power of God. Because those who God saves, He keeps. Those who God saves are secure. Now, we may doubt, yep. We may get anxious, yep. We may say, how can I even do this and be a Christian? Yep. But let me tell you this. Praise be to God. Our salvation is not dependent upon what we do, but our salvation is dependent upon the fact that our salvation is D-O-N-E. It's done. And it's finished by Christ and by Christ alone. So our religion's not due. No. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. We got no strength. God's our strength. But our salvation is done, finished, by the perfect sin atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross in the shedding of His precious blood to redeem the eternal souls of His people. And we say, hallelujah. What a Savior. Oh my. And dwell among the crags and mountains of Judea. David had escaped the hatred of Saul. He'd hidden in some of these clefts, in some of these caves. And he's escaped the hatred of Saul. And here he compares our God to such a place of concealment where he's safe, where his enemies can't see him. He's absolutely safe. And believers, beloved, we're hidden in Christ. We're hidden in Christ. You know, think of this too. Think of how God hides us from the strife and the tongues of our enemies. People say stuff about us we don't even know. And God's protecting us from that, isn't He? And the little bit we do hear sometimes, it can hurt, can't it? Oh, yeah. Especially if a brother rises up against you. That can really hurt then. But God, how much does God protect us from that? Oh my, I don't think we're going to know this side of heaven. I think we're going to learn, but how much does he keep us from the strife of the tongues of our enemies? My, oh my. So what a security. Let's look at this. What a security the believer has. No wonder Augustus' top lady penned the words, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Oh, let me hide myself in thee. We're hidden in Christ. My. In this same word is translated rock in Isaiah when speaking of Christ. I'll read this. Isaiah 32:2 says, "And the man shall be a hiding place from the wind, in covert from the tempest. Rivers of water in a dry place, in the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Same Hebrew word there for rock. Oh my. Oh, we're hid in Christ. We're hid in Christ, beloved. Now let's look at our text again, verse 2. "The Lord's my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." Look at this. It says He's His fortress. He's our fortress. See this word fortress in the Hebrew word is translated stronghold. Stronghold. An English definition for fortress is this: a mighty stronghold, a military stronghold, especially a strongly fortified town fit for a large garrison, a heavily protected and impenetrable building. Christ is impenetrable. Our enemies cannot get through Him, beloved. We are safe. We're safe in the fortress that is Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, the believers is hedged all in all around by Christ. Not just hedged in, but with walls that no enemy can come over. He's a bulwark. He's a high tower. He's a stronghold, beloved. Scripture says this: "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." 1 Peter 1:5 says that about God's people. We're kept. Where we're kept? We're kept in the stronghold, beloved. We're kept in Christ. We're kept in the fortress. Oh, my. Now let's read. Let's read verse 2 again. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Now here we see the Lord's our deliverer. Oh, praise God. Praise God. I need to be rescued. That's what deliverer means there. Rescued. The Lord's our rescuer, isn't He? He's our Savior. And not only does our great God and King protect us when we're in times of trouble, but oh, He delivers us during times of trouble too, doesn't He? He keeps our enemies at bay, beloved. He keeps our enemies from destroying us. Our sins. Now think of this. During the believer's hour of peril, the Lord is our deliverer. Now some may ask, well, what's He delivered us from? Well, number one, our sins. Our sins were against us. Scripture says Christ came into this world to save His people from their sins. Our sins was against us, beloved. And then He saved us from the wrath of God. And He saves us from our trials and our tribulations, which we face in the days where we pilgrimage on this earth. And one day, oh, but one day, He's going to deliver us from all our sin. He's going to deliver us from this body of death. And we're going to be translated. Oh, we're going to see Him face to face. Oh, we're going to be caught up into heaven, either at the hour of our death or when He returns, if we're alive. Oh, but one day we will. Every one of us, every believer will see Him face to face. And all the blessedness to see our Savior and our Redeemer face to face. Oh, and when almost captured, the Lord's people are rescued from the hand of the mighty by Him who is mightier than them all. You know that? Oh, our enemies are mighty, aren't they? But we're delivered by He who is mightier. He who is Jehovah. God, our salvation. Our deliverer. Look at further down in this psalm. Look at verse 6. "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. Elohim, my strength. He heard my voice out of His temple. And my cry came before Him, even unto His ears." And then look at verse 46. "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted." Verse 47. "It is God that avengeth me, and subdueth the people under me." Verse 48. "He delivereth me from mine enemies, yea, Thou liftest me up above. And when we're up above, no enemies can get us when we're in the high tower, beloved. And that high tower is Christ. Look at that. Oh, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me, and hast delivered me from the violent man. Christ is our deliverer. Praise God, He delivered us from our sins. Praise God, He delivered us from the justice of God. Praise God, He delivered us from the wrath of God. Praise God, He delivers us in our trials and tribulations. And praise God, one day He'll deliver us from this sinful body of flesh. And we'll be with Him forever in glory. Let's read verse 2 again, and we'll see our fourth reason to love our Lord our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation. Look at that. He's my God now. He's my God. He wasn't my God. To me, He wasn't my God, but He's always been my God, and I just didn't know it. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I had no clue who the one true God of the Bible was. I didn't even know who He was. And that's the state of every one of us who come into this world, dead in trespasses and sins. I didn't have any idea who He was. But now, praise God, by the grace of God, He is my God. Is He yours? Oh, I pray God will show you grace. And I pray He'll reveal Christ to you in your desperate need for Him. Oh, my. Look at this. The Lord is my strength in whom I will trust. Look at that. He's my strength. Again, strength is brought forth again, showing us our weakness. But this word strength is not the same Hebrew word as used in verse 1. No, the word strength in verse 1 means powerful or strong. In verse 2 here, the word means rock. He's my rock. My, oh my. He is my deliverer. This denotes, again, Christ being our hiding place and our strength. A place to flee to. Right? He's the refuge of our souls, isn't He? We don't have any refuge outside of Christ. Oh my. And this denotes, too, that the believer is safe and secure in Christ. If you're resting in Christ and trusting in Christ, He is all we need. He's our strength. He's our salvation. My, oh my. We march forward under His banner, don't we? He's a commanding general. And we march forward under His banner. Oh, this is a reality for David. Look at verses 31 to 36 of this same psalm, Psalm 18. The nice thing about this psalm is you don't have to leave it a whole lot. There's a hope, and there's so much in it. Psalm 18, verses 31 to 36. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? There's no other security other than our great God. And there's no other God but the Lord, but Jehovah. It is God that girdeth me with strength. Look at that. We don't gird ourselves with strength. We're weak. We can't do nothing. But God girds us with strength, doesn't He? And maketh my way perfect. That's in Christ. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and sitteth me upon high places. See, if He didn't make our feet sure, we'd slip and fall and be all over the place, wouldn't we? Oh my. And we're just sinners. We're just sinners saved by grace, and we're sinned till the day we get home to glory. But praise be to God, one day we'll be perfect. One day we won't sin anymore. Look at this. He teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation. Who's the shield of our salvation? Well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? He's the shield of our salvation. And thy right hand hath holding me up. Look at that. Who's at the right hand of God right now? The Lord Jesus Christ. We're upheld by God's right hand. That's Jesus Christ, our King. Oh, my. And thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps unto me, that my feet did not slip. He takes care of His people from the cradle to the grave, and then takes us to heaven to be with them forever. My, oh my. The gods of the heathens, they're just rocks and wood and stone, and they're hewn out of stone, in which no one should trust. But but the God of the saints, He's a rock in whom I don't trust. Deuteronomy says, for their rock is not our rock. Even our enemies themselves being judges. That's Deuteronomy 32:31. The rock of religion is not the rock of the Bible. Because He can't do nothing unless you allow Him to do it. But the rock of the Bible, Jehovah, He proclaims salvations of the Lord. From beginning to end and everything in between. Oh my! Let us praise His mighty name. Isaiah 26 verses 3 and 4 says this, Thou will keep Him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because He trusteth in Thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, next time we go through some stuff, let us just keep our eyes fixed on Christ. Let us grab a hold of this promise here. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Just trust the Lord. Now, whatever comes, we just trust the Lord, don't we? And we learn to do that too, don't we? We learn as the days go by and the years go by, we learn to trust more and more in Christ. More and more. Oh my. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah 26 verses 3 and 4. Christ is a strong and mighty one, beloved. He's the only one who's able to save. And He's the Savior, Redeemer, Surety of His people. Let's read verse 2 again. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. There's another reason to love Christ. Well, He is my buckler. That means shield in the Hebrew. He's my shield. Oh, my. In this buckler here, was a small brown shield carried by light infantry. The light infantry of those days carried this small, you might have seen it in some guys fighting the Romans. The Romans had the large shields, and some people come at them with these small shields made out of different skins and things, and made out of wood. That's a buckler. How's the Lord our shield? Well, Christ shielded us, we who believe, on Him from the wrath and justice of God when He died in our room and place. The wrath due us fell upon our King. And He shielded us from that. He shielded us from that, beloved. He took it all. So that not a drop of God's wrath would fall upon His people. And He died in the room and place of His people on Calvary's cross. Oh, look at verse 35 again in Psalm 18. Thou hast also given me the shield of Thy salvation. Oh, give Him faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Thy right hand hath holden me up. That's Christ. And Thy gentleness hath made me great. Oh, my. None who have Christ for the shield will ever suffer condemnation, beloved. They'll never suffer judgment because all our sins were judged at Calvary's cross when Christ bore all our sins. Praise His mighty name. Look what it says here too now. Let's look at verse 2 again. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. Notice here the horn of my salvation. The horn is to animals the means of their defense. It's an instrument of their power as strength lies in the horns of the animals who have them. When they fight, they use their antlers or their horns. Hence, the word is used here as elsewhere to represent that to which we owe our protection and defense in danger. Who's our protection? Who's our defense in danger? Jehovah, our great God, the Lord Jesus Christ. My, oh my, this is wonderful. Listen to this. Listen to this in Psalm 22, verses 2 and 3. And he said, The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock. In Him will I trust. He's my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. my refuge, my Savior.
Thou savest me from violence. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 2 and 3.
Oh.
Who is David's strength? God is David's strength. God is David's strength. God is David's power. God is David's defense. God is David's salvation. And Christ saves with eternal and immutable power. He is all power. And His salvation is just as eternal and immutable as He is. Alright, so let we who are the redeemed of the Lord rejoice. We're saved by the power of God, and we're kept by the power of God. What do we say? Praise His mighty name for His mercy and His goodness and His grace shown to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let's read Psalm 18:2 again. The Lord is my rock. Now notice this, is my. My, God's been, He's showing David grace, isn't he? Just like He's showing us. David can confidently claim, the Lord is my rock. He's been saved by the grace and mercy of God. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Now notice here, beloved, this is wonderful. Another reason for us to love Christ is because the Lord's our high tower. It says, is my high tower. Can you say that? Can you say with David these things? The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Well, the believer says, only by the grace of God can I say that. Right? Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? Now, the Hebrew word here for high tower is defined as a high place, a refuge. It's a high tower that people would have to ascend to get to. I read several books on the Roman soldiers when they went into the land of the Gauls. And they had specific trouble with the towers that were raised. They could walk right through pretty much the other ones. They could break through the other ones. They were geniuses with their engineers. But when they came to those high towers, when they were set in the rocks, they had to stop and think about things a little while before they went forward. And it's costly. It's usually costly to invade a high tower. The Hebrew word, now think of this too, this Hebrew word for this is a high tower, refuge, secure height, a retreat. And number one, stronghold. But the Hebrew word here is translated defense 7 times in the Old Testament, refuge 5 times, and tower 3 times. Well, what does that speak of? Well, it speaks of our security in Christ again, doesn't it? Oh my, Christ is the believer's high tower. He's our refuge. He's our defense. What comfort we have. What peace the sinner finds in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a refuge we have in Christ. From the law of God, from the wrath of God, from the justice of God. In the sinner who flees to Christ, they have found a refuge like no other. They have found a refuge like no other. This is a refuge that is impenetrable. This is a refuge that our enemies will never break through. And our refuge is God. Our refuge is Jehovah. Oh, that's who we trust in. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 to 20. Wherein God willing more abundantly shown to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. Now that word consolation in the Greek is comfort. Strong comfort. Who's our comfort? Only Christ. He's called the God of all comfort in Corinthians. Strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Beloved, God's people, we've fled for refuge. Refuge from our sins. Right? Refuge from the wrath of God. Refuge from the judgment of God. And who's our hope? Well, our hope
is the one who's the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that hope set before us, the Scripture says here, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. It can't be broken, beloved. It's sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made him high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And look what the psalmist concludes with here in verse 3. Oh my, we'll just look at the first part. And then we'll look at the latter part. Look at this. I will call upon the Lord. There was a time when each one of us didn't call upon the Lord. But by the power of God's regenerating power, the Holy Spirit of God, we're born again. And now this conclusion to these three verses, oh my, I will call upon the Lord. Now we call upon the Lord. Rebels who wouldn't call upon the Lord at all. Rebels who shook our fist at God. Rebels either in our hearts or by our words. Now we call upon the Lord. Praise His mighty name. And now we're going to see he cites two worthy reasons that God is to be praised. Look at this. Because, well, number one, he alone is worthy. Number one, there's no one else worthy of our praise. I started that off at the beginning of the message. There's no one worthy of our praise except for God. Look at this. He tells us right here. Verse 3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy. I'm not worthy to receive any praise from man. I'm just a sinner, saved by the grace of God. I don't want the praise of man. As a matter of fact, that's what believers are commanded to stay away from, is the praise of man. We want God to get all the glory. Any giftings I have to preach, God gets all the glory. Any giftings you have, God gets all the glory, doesn't He? He gets all the honor and praise, and we serve Him because we love Him. My. So the first worthy reason for calling upon the Lord is He's worthy to be praised. And then look at this. What's the next one? So shall I be saved from my enemies. Now if you at home read verses 14 to 19, you will see this in the text, how God delivered David from the hands of his enemies. My, oh my. Look at verse 3 again. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Again, no alone He is worthy to be praised. There's no one else worthy to be praised but our great God, Jehovah. And the psalmist here, look at this. He mixes prayer with praise. He says, I will call upon the Lord. Right? That's our prayer. And now he mixes it with praise. Who is worthy to be praised. Praise His mighty name. When you speak to Him, praise His mighty name for the things He's done for you. Oh my. And notice the happiness that the psalmist has. He's been delivered. Saul wants to kill him. And God's delivered him. God's delivered him. And the psalmist here resolves to invoke the Lord in joyful song, believing that in all future conflicts that God would deal with His enemies as He has in the past. It's good for us to pray to our great God, because He alone is the one who should be called on, and He alone is the one who should be praised. And what's the result? So shall I be saved from mine enemies. All by the Lord's almighty power, right? Saved from our enemies by the almighty power of God. Time and time again. And David had such faith given to him by God, same faith we have, right? That he could fight singing and win the battle with a song still upon his lips. This is true of every believer. Our victory is in Christ. It's not anything we do. Our victory is in Christ. And we receive fresh mercy every morning. Do you know that? His mercies are new to us every morning. Every morning. My, oh my. So He alone is worthy of our praise. My, what a wonderful thing What a wonderful blessing to receive new mercies every morning. My. And let us put in our heart, let us keep in our heart that we're unworthy of these mercies, but yet they're new every morning. Oh, we are so blessed as God's people. And let us enjoy this mercy that God's showing to us. Let us relish it. Let us meditate upon it. And think how glorious it is and how wonderful it is that unworthy sinners have received mercy. Mercy that's needed too, isn't it? Mercy that's needed. So truly then, only the Lord is worthy of our praise. Only our great God is worthy of our praise. My, oh my. And we can go forward. We can go forward having confidence that God's going to deliver us just like He has in our past. Right? Oh my, it's wonderful. Because we've experienced those experiences of divine love and divine deliverance. No fearing or doubting, with Christ on our side, we hope to die shouting, the Lord will provide. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your mercy and grace. Oh, we will call upon Thee, O Lord. You who are our rock, our shelter, our defense, our buckler, our shield, our high tower, our strength. Oh, we're so weak. We're so weak, Father. But Thou art our strength. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise Thy mighty name for saving our souls. We praise Thee for Thy great deliverance. Delivering us from all our sins. Delivering us from the wrath of God. Delivering us from the justice of God. And delivering us from ourselves. We long, Lord, to be in Thy presence. We look forward to that day when You call us home. And we will see Thee face to face. Thank You, Lord, for saving our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.